This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is a special edition of the IT in the D Show, broadcasting here live, Comerica Park, across the street from the beautiful Fox Theater, where TEDx Detroit has been going on all day. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek.
Still at the card table.
Still at the card table, underneath section 112. We are hanging out with Zaria. She is a local poet and filmmaker. And I heard you had a really cool talk this afternoon.
Yeah, I did. I was basically speaking about young women and our society and the expectations that are put upon those young women and how it can make it very hard to have self-worth and confidence in yourself because of those. And also the idea that young men are unaccountable in our society and our media for the things they do towards women, abuse and assault also.
I have three daughters. Go on.
Exactly.
Well, I had a motif in the poem where I likened women to being shackled shrines at a temple who are always prayed to by society, by many countries around the world, and how we never ask to be in this position and how no one ever gives back to us what they take. So basically, we're put on a pedestal. We are loved for our beauty or our looks, but we never are seen as having any other sort of worth in our society.
Well, so, and with, what was it, 600 or was it 600 or 900 high school students that are here today?
600.
So, I mean, that's probably the right, well, it might even be a little bit late, but at least the right age to start hitting them with that message.
Yeah, and I met so many beautiful young girls and guys who came from the various high schools around here who told me that the poem really spoke to them. So many of them told me that they felt the same way I had, where you look in the mirror every day and you look at your skin color, and if it doesn't match, especially if you're a minority, when you look in the mirror, you feel as if you aren't worth much, that you aren't beautiful, that you aren't pretty, and of course that confidence goes into school, your schoolwork.
Right.
You are affected by that because you can no longer focus just on homework or on what you're learning in class. You're now focusing on how are people looking at me? Who am I as a person? And, you know, as a teenager and an adolescent, it's super important to know who you are. You know, this is a time when you're trying to figure out what defines you. And at this pivotal time, we have the media telling them that they
this is what you're supposed to be.
Yeah, this is what you're supposed to be. And everything you are is not right. And that can be very damaging, you know, to your self-esteem. So I met so many really, really interesting teenagers today who really identified with my message.
So I think my oldest is 12, so I don't really know the high school culture, and I've been out of high school for 25 years now. Mm-hmm. But the cliques that defined us when I went to school, I graduated in 91, I think the walls are breaking down a little bit where it's cool to be a geek, almost like Revenge of the Nerds is coming to fruition. but again, I think the cliques are kind of, they're not there anymore as they once were. Am I wrong in that?
No, I believe, especially in my high school experience, of course I can't speak for everyone, I think the cliques that we have in the movies now, you know, the geek, goth, nerds, those don't really exist, like you were saying.
Wait, there's no more Mean Girls?
Yes, it's no more Mean Girls, no more High School Musical. It's more so you have your style that you like. A lot of times now there's the hipsters, the kind of nerdy, cool kids now who have their flannel and their square glasses style. And then, of course, there's always that group of kids who have this air about themselves as if they are better, who will still bully. Bullying is a huge issue still. But the cliques no longer exist. It's more so now a clique online. Online bullying. Online texting, social media now. That's the issue.
I caught my daughter, her friend added her to an Instagram page bullying a kid in school.
Wow.
And I went ballistic. Like, you have, and it had an F-bomb in the title about this kid. And I'm like, why is your picture on it? Like, you know, I go, I watch everything, you know. But I think,
well, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I thank God we didn't have social media when we were
kids. No.
I can't even imagine.
No, but I put the fear of God in my kid. I'm like, you're dead. I help build the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, I know everything. I see everything, and they don't know the difference.
Right.
But that's what.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is a 12-year-old girl making a bullying Instagram site, making fun of a kid in their school, I was just floored.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the biggest...
It's one thing talking crap in gym or something, but it's another thing publicly.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's the biggest difference now is, you know, like with us, you know, okay, yeah, I'm going to kick your ass by the bike racks after school, and then everybody goes home.
And it's done.
And then you come back the next day, and you're trading peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and life's good.
Right.
It is a 24/7 cycle now.
Mm-hmm. Now they videotape it on their phone, and then they put it up to Facebook Live, and then they share with everybody.
It's tweeted, it's Facebook. Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different world now, which I, fear for my kids, too.
Yeah, I agree with the fact that it's 24/7. Now, you no longer can have a break when you're being bullied. Now, if you have social media every day, if you look at it, you can see someone else saying something awful about yourself. Or about your family, or about your grades, just anything really that they can pick at. They that's what they want to pick at. But mainly my poem, instead of bullying, it was more so the idea that we're making young girls think that they have to fight amongst themselves as if there's this invisible race going on where there's this competition of I'm better than this girl. I'm prettier than this girl. And how sad it is that we're making that the topic of discussion amongst young girls instead of, you know, normal kid stuff growing up. Instead of, they have so much more to worry about than that.
But, well, and I guess, you know, that's the one thing that probably hasn't changed is when you're at that age, you know, you look back at it, you know, they're running, you know, when I was 16, I thought I knew everything. And then I hit 18 and I was like, oh my God, I was a moron. Now I know everything. Then you hit 21 and you're like, oh, what the hell was I thinking at 18? Mm-hmm. Now I know everything. And then you hit 25 and 30. But when you're in that, you know, all of the Dawson's Creeks party of fives, you know, all that time in your life seems like it is the most important time that there will ever be. You know, so whether it's, you know, the cyberbullying or, God, the increased rate that you're seeing in, you know, younger kids committing suicide now because of bullying, whether it's online or in the real world. It's such a bizarre dynamic now. But
here's my take, and correct me, like, the things, like, maybe you see it because it's on social and it's shared in news stories and stuff, but, like, having the slow kid score a touchdown in football, or, you know, like back in, like we were mean, like bad, like we beat the heck out of him, throw him in a garbage can, like when we were, and I see there's this reach out now, like sit with the kid that's sitting alone at school. Before we'd like spitballs and right, and I don't know if it's just because I see that some of those feel good stories or not, or if that's actually what's changing. Because I mean, I really push that on my kids too. Is, hey, if you see somebody sitting by themselves, just do me a favor and sit down and have lunch with them. You hang out with your friends all day. You're on your iPad with them at, you know, when you're home or you're playing with them. Mm-hmm. Please just help out that kid, you know, for the love of God, you know. So and they're doing a really good job of it, but I, you know, I think that needs to be pushed on more kids.
Yeah, I think it's getting better. Of course, all of those feel-good stories you're talking about, we're seeing a lot of kids now who are trying to do good for people, who are trying to be nice to people instead of bullying. I think we're doing good with bullying campaigns. We're getting a lot more word out about teaching kids that it's wrong, you know, to bully others, to make them feel bad about themselves. And so I think it is getting better in that aspect. I do.
So your YouTube video will be out as soon as they're done with production, probably like next week?
Yes, I believe so. It will be.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But it was, the main part about the poem was about our rape culture. I guess I should say that too. About how we teach boys to be unaccountable. How everything we put in the media about rape is always about what a woman could be doing to prevent it, instead of about a man not doing it in the first
nothing
place.
Nothing worse than sending a girl home from school with an outfit because it's too distracting, because it's like, what you're saying is boys can't control themselves.
Yeah, your shoulders can't be out. That's completely...
Skirt above the knees, no, go home. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you're teaching. That's what you're telling.
So
I'm on the same page with you on that.
Yeah, so we're teaching the girls, too, to view their bodies as sexual objects as well as the men or the young boys.
Right.
And we should start young.
And again, daughters, no.
Yeah.
And we hear stories, and I feel, you know, honest to God, we there's a podcast on our network of a couple girls in their mid to late 20s talking about dating. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine to be single in this day and age, the way girls are just disrespected, treated, what they have to go through, stood up. Like, it's Yeah, I don't even know how to correct it.
It's disgusting. It really is. I had a line. I'm trying to think of the line that I had in there. I said, when you are finally willing to speak, instead of asking about the boy's name, they will ask about the number of his football jersey. So I had that line in there, too, because we've had so many cases where there have been college boys who are in football teams or any
swimmers.
Other sports team.
Yeah.
And if they commit a crime, the first thing they ask is, you know, what number they are.
What are stats?
If they're a star.
Yeah.
And if they're a star, we can't let them go for the season, regardless if they committed something illegal towards a woman.
Look at Ray Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. Like, you know, you had videotape of it, and it still was like, oh, well, he still can play, so we'll let him on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wait,
I mean,
what?
We'll review it. There's nothing to review. I mean, and then we have women who I've seen on interviews on YouTube who feel even more disrespected when they go to the police stations and the police have questions. That,
what'd you do?
Yeah, like, yeah. What were
How
you
many
wearing?
Drinks did you
Where
have?
Were
what were you wearing?
Right.
Did you lead him on? Did you? Yep.
Yeah, and it's the only crime, in a way, rape, that the victim becomes the perpetrator as if you committed it towards yourself.
Right.
So you're treated as if you are the one who did something wrong, when regardless of what you were wearing, if you were wearing a turtleneck and jeans and boots and you couldn't see any skin, or if you were wearing a miniskirt.
If you're wearing nothing, it doesn't matter.
You shouldn't be assaulted. There's nothing to justify doing something like that to a person. There's nothing. And we need to have campaigns about that instead of, you know, being aware, self-defense.
And that's probably the last thing that's being talked about when you look at the grand scheme of all the, like, bullying is one thing, but I think that's more important. If you want to make fun of someone, so what? But this is, you're hurting someone for the rest of their life.
Yeah, you are damaging in their lives, and no one seems to care or be outraged about it. We have percentages of college students being raped every single year, and no one's doing anything about that. There aren't a lot of campaigns that you see on TV. Not a lot of people talking about this, what we should be doing about it. Campus security doesn't do much to, you know, watch the parties, to monitor what's going around. Because then in that case, there wouldn't be as many counts of that crime happening. If they were truly monitoring like they should be.
Well, you're at least starting by getting the conversation started here, and which is step one. And then, you know, again, it's something that needs to be addressed, but, you know, more people need to get involved, right?
Yeah, and as soon as we get involved and start teaching girls to view themselves as worth something, we start teaching guys to view women as being worth something, too, other than their bodies, then we're going to have better self-esteem for young girls. They're going to feel better about themselves.
I need all the help confidence. I can get. If you have any other tips and tricks, I'm all ears. Going into 13, I'm my biggest fear right now, right?
Yeah. So, and I think, of course, it's going to be hard regardless. I mean, there's no magic word to say to a young pre-adolescent or teenage girl, because there are a lot of negative voices out there. But I think with me personally, I know my parents, they personally told me constantly that being a teenager, being in this weird, odd stage of confusion is not forever, even though it feels as if it will be, that you have to be secure in yourself. And I know that's not something that happens over time. So just reassuring the person about things that they're good at.
I say the same thing. I just say own it.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do, whatever you do, own it.
Yeah.
So, hey, we got to wrap things up. Zaria, we appreciate the time spent with us.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.